with a reminder of the theme, the main theme that we are seeing throughout Revelation. Here's Pastor Chris.
He wants you to know that even though at times it seems like we're losing, and at times it's hard, it will feel like our message has been crushed, the Lord will come and he's going to put on display the most awesome display of deliverance like you've never seen before.
Mention Armageddon and fears just creep right into the mind and the heart. It's the end of all things, right? I mean, they've made movies about all of this. Yet, as we go through Armageddon, which is the title of our message today, here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, we get the overwhelming sense that while everything seems to be falling apart, God is keeping his children safe and sound. With a marvelous look at Armageddon, Revelation 16, here's Pastor Chris Gordon and today's program.
When idolatry reigns, what happens to the sore hitting the conscience? It sears it. And idolatry reigns and it brings all this pain. What if God brought a sore on the family? What would it look like? Would children stop honoring their parents? Would we have a society of misfits and parents no longer leading in the home? Would it say that marriage is no longer for life? Would it say that it should no longer be between a man and a woman? Would divorce become the norm? Would we legalize same-sex marriage? Sore. And what's the result? What does all this bring? Destruction of the family. Another restraint gone. Well, civil authorities. I think we're having a struggle there. If God were to pour a sore on this when idolatry reigns, when we do not honor the governing God-given authority structures and everyone's just attacking them all the time and we live in this society where that filth is always hitting us, what happens? We'll rip it apart and we'll self-destruct. We'll overthrow all the authority structures of police. You see, we're ruining what God gave that was good and we're worshiping the creature rather than the creator who is forever blessed, amen. The beast has promised in the middle of all of that happiness for you. He's promised you happiness in all this. He has said, listen, the world and its system is the answer here. It's the payoff for you. Even though the Lord's saying it's paying off with death. So you see the description here. It's a sore on idolatry in all these areas of God's providence and his goodness. Hasn't the sun, just to prove my point, hasn't the sun always been viewed in the Bible and used as a display of God's common goodness to everyone? It's the marker, isn't it? The sun rises on the just and the unjust. When the sun shines on people and they're enjoying the sun, and they're out in the desert having a good time, or out at the beach, it's used as a figure to show God's kindness on them, the warmth they enjoy in this life. But hasn't the sun been turned into history a great object of worship? Here's what's happening. The sun shining upon them in rays and beams of his goodness is taken away, and it scorches. See, it's the same thing. What is the response? As things get harder and harder, what is the world's response to this? Same as Egypt's, same as Pharaoh's. They're being plagued. And what are they doing in the midst of all this? Blaspheming God. And they refuse to repent and give him glory. Isn't that what you see? I think it's here we have a hard time. This is not easy stuff, is it? It's at the heart of this third bowl that we have a reminder from God that this is very right. He is so wise. He knows just what to interject just at the right time because he knows what people think. He knows that people are saying, this is too much. Why would a good God do this? It's what they do. And the Lord says, do you know what the world has done to your brothers and sisters that have come before you? You're very myopic. It slaughtered them. You forget them, don't you? Forget all your brothers and sisters in the Lord who've been martyred and killed for standing up for Jesus. You've had it so good, you've forgotten that. And so this angel comes as the waters become blood. And I heard an angel in charge of the water say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." It is. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." Truth be told, and I have to take this seriously as a pastor, especially in proclaiming this. If we struggle with the just judgment of God, isn't it because we first and foremost have forgotten that this really should include us? Don't you think? That it would be just, as David said, and blameless if you put us under all this? If you're struggling with the judgment of God, we've got to go back there. Because we've done the same things. God in mercy has enlightened your eyes. He's loved you. He's pulled you out. He's given you Jesus. But anyone who knows the grace of God in Christ and what he's capable of will say, just with David, "You are blameless when you judge and just when you speak," Psalm 51. It's all righteous. It's all righteous. Now, that's how the first four are categorized as I was studying it this week. The next two can be categorized as plagues that bring the destruction on the counterfeit kingdom. What do I mean? Notice it was on the people, and here we're now on the kingdom itself. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So in this particular fifth and sixth now, God in this plague is shown as plaguing the throne of the beast. This false system. I think you can get it this way. If people have refused the throne of Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He's the king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If they have exchanged that and accepted the lie, and they have believed in the world and its system, what are they essentially adopting? They're essentially adopting a system of deliverance for them that they believe will deliver them. There is a promise in the midst of this system of the world to people. That's why it's so attractive. There's promises in both kingdoms. Right? We have all these promises we cherish from Jesus. There are promises from the beast. Don't you see how behind the thought, if you look at the collective thought of mankind in the world, of humans in the world, that the one great purpose is to unite in the goodness of the human spirit, to unite everyone, to save the planet, to eradicate what they call hate, to build a humanity that is all on love. We've been singing, "All You Need Is Love," for a long time, right? This is you 60s people. This is their motto. We need to find a universal solution where we come together, we live in a global society, where we're going to solve humanity's problems and cultivate the goodness of the humankind spirit. I don't know if I'm capturing it, but I see it. I don't know if you see it. There's a spirit behind this system. There's a promise of deliverance in it. Put it this way. It's Babel. You go back to Genesis 11, and it becomes like a power grid, as one pastor said. It combines political, military, economic, religious, social causes, and strength to achieve deliverance. The world system. What did they say at the Tower of Babel? You remember what they said, boys and girls of the Tower of Babel? "Come, let us build ourselves a city antithetical to God's city that he's building. Let us build that city and a tower whose top reaches into heavens. And let us make," remember this, "a name for ourselves," there's the spirit, "lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." If you understand what the spirit is and understand the spirit of Babel, it was saying, let us unite together and overcome the curse ourselves. That's on us. Well, this is what the world's trying to beat, death, isn't it? If we just come together, we can accomplish anything. We hear it all the time on a smaller level. If you just put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. There's a whole system there, that's a whole spirit there that's constantly pushed on us. Life is good. I don't have the t-shirt, but you've seen it, haven't you? It's a process. You hear it speech all the time. We looked at with the false Holy Spirit. What is God doing in the fifth and sixth? He has just plunged the entire kingdom into what? Darkness. Darkness. In other words, he has poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast and plunged the whole thing into darkness. They can't see, and you know they can't see. They cannot achieve what they're so desperately living to achieve. This is what the world would do. And God hits the whole thing with darkness. Can't you see it? What's happened right now? Are we united as a people? Look at all the separation. Look at all the tensions. So emotionally charged that no one can listen to each other today. Look at the warfare between the nations. Look at the conflicts. Look at the lack of unity. What is the result? People are chewing their tongues in despair. They're massively disoriented to the state of things, aren't they? Massively disoriented. This is why the Bible is constantly saying, Christians, don't be. Don't be. Only the kindness of God, the true God of heaven and earth, can achieve lasting peace. And it first starts with a peace between God and man, which the world has no knowledge of. Only God can bring true these promises that he has made of what the world is trying to collectively do under the beast lie. The Lord's plunged it into darkness. That's why it's called the kingdom of darkness. There's only one kingdom of light. Now, I don't want to lose the gospel here. Everything that that you are receiving in a kingdom that cannot be shaken is different, isn't it? When Jesus is worshipped and he is the center and he is the loyalty of your hearts and you are worshiping him, he has told you everything that happens to you in this life, he will turn for good. He's promised that to you, hasn't he? You have to believe that promise. I understand at times it's really hard to believe that promise, but that's what faith is. Faith is believing that promise. And when it's dark, that's your light. You have a king on a throne. Remember chapter 4? First thing Revelation began with after the study of the seven churches, and I looked up and there was a throne fixed in heaven. That's not like the beast throne being plagued on earth into darkness. That throne is light and that throne is fixed. It's not going anywhere. You got to live by faith in that, don't you? His throne is an everlasting kingdom that'll never come to an end. You're a member of that. Here, as you have joined and been a part of his church on earth, it's governed in righteousness and in peace. It's a gift, a free grace to you. As we unite as one people of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation and actually accomplish it through the blood of Jesus, we actually accomplish this and will in full in glory. It's really awesome to see the Lord over all this, isn't it? But you should see that the confusion right now in our world is akin to the confusion that happened at Babel when the whole thing was separated and the world is in a desperate attempt to unite. The only healing of that wound happened at, we'll consider tonight, at Pentecost, when the Spirit bridged the gap so the gospel would go out to the nations. But the confusion in the kingdom of darkness continues. Now the sixth plague, so it's been plunged into hopelessness. The sixth plague describes the beast's last attempt to unite the world. It's his last attempt. You'll notice it. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Verse 12, and its water was dried up to prepare the way from the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole earth to assemble them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. And they assembled, I'll come back to 15, they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. You have major symbols from the past here in the Bible. It's not complex. It's actually very simple. Euphrates was a symbol of Assyria, Babylon, and the wicked world. Whole thing dries up. And just like the Red Sea, the Egyptians walked into the dry sea after Israel. So this last sixth plague has opened it up so that they can gather one more time. It's a picture of the nations coming together against the Lord and against his people and his anointed. Revelation captures the end of the world as a grand battle and a grand struggle. It's not meant to say, grab your guns. That's not what we're talking about. There's one great final gathering of Babylon against us. In other words, God allows at the end of the world to come against the church with everything it has. He allows that. One last time. Everything it's got, it's coming against us. And you know this, right? This is the Red Sea. The plagues hit Egypt. They come out. They're backed up against the Red Sea. They don't have weapons in their hands. And there they come, the mighty Egyptians marching with all their weapons and their war chariots. And what happened? God allowed that to give one final death blow. The place, Armageddon. A long history of symbolism. It was the mountain where many battles were fought in Israel. You'll think of in Judges, where Sisera was defeated. Deborah, all that, we have this mountain described. It also can mean the mountain of meeting. The point is, it's one final point and place of deception, and God allows it, and the sixth plague opens it up, so it'll happen. And these two kingdoms of darkness and light have a final collision. It's the Red Sea event. Remember when what happened at the Red Sea? Moses' words to Israel, they're just panic. And Moses says, stand still, and the Lord will fight for you. Today you shall see the Egyptians no more forever. It's this same kind of moment where the beast gathers for one last time with all that he has, his darkness, and the plague made the way for it to happen. And that's the climax here. That's the seventh. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it's done. And there were flashes of lightnings, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there never had been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city, Babylon, was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hell because the plague was so severe. We'll get to the end here in this last section of Revelation where the judgment day happens. But you know what was just described? Every victory that you've ever read about in the Bible was climaxed into one. That's what was just described. Every victory you've ever read about in the Bible of the Lord delivering his people, just climaxed into one. Hail on Egypt. The breaking apart of the Tower of Babel and spreading them. The overthrow of Sodom. The flood of Noah's day. It's here at the end all climaxed. And notice what's happened. I'm pouring out my cup on this world. It's collective stance against the truth. The Christ is over. Dennis Johnson says it this way. The power grid of human culture, political, economic, military, religious, social, is so tightly interlocking that when its heart is shattered, the whole edifice crumbles. See how quickly things could crumble in the world? And with Babylon's fall, the world's cities fall. It's like dropping 100-pound boulders on cities. It's over. What did he just do? He just shattered apart Babylon. He shattered apart all of its strength. He broke it apart and put an end to it. And then what happens for us? We pass through. We enter in. That's the message the Lord wants for us to understand that's happening in the earth. He wants you to know that even though at times it seems like we're losing, and at times it's hard. It will feel like our message has been crushed. The Lord will come, and he's going to put on display the most awesome display of deliverance like you've never seen before. You're going to marvel. The glory of the Red Sea deliverance will be nothing as to what is to come when Jesus is revealed on the clouds of heaven to come get you and to put an end to this. Just and true and righteous are your ways, O Lord. It's right. It's right. He has one message for you, one line for you in the midst of all this to encourage you. It's that red letter, that red sentence, isn't it? Do you see it? Verse 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. He's not saying, go do this, then you will be blessed. What he's saying, he's pronouncing a blessing on you. Blessed on you. Blessed are you who are watching. You're a blessed people. Do you know how blessed you are? Blessed. Do you know how blessed you are? I've blessed you to watch. I've blessed you to keep your eyes on the Savior. This is not a time to fall for Babylon's allure. This is not a time to go after it. It's plagued. Everyone who is listening to its lie, look at their sorrow. They don't have happiness, true happiness. They don't. Blessed is the man. That means happy. Happy is the man who has the Lord as his God. You're a blessed people. And so in the next chapter, he's going to say, come out. Come out of Babylon. Be separate to me. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The cross has made that so. But the world, the whole thing, you need to know, is under judgment. Don't believe its lie and its promises. It can't deliver you. Don't believe that you can be happy doing what you want. Don't believe that all the highs you can get and all the sex you can go have is going to bring you happiness. It's going to destroy you. It's all coming down. Don't be allured by it. Instead, remember your Savior's coming. He loves you. And he's blessed you. You are blessed in Jesus. You know, right now, if you have heard this message, and you believe, you are blessed. Do you hear him? I've blessed you. I've blessed you. He who promised is faithful. He will do it. And he will deliver you and your children. Put your trust in the Lord.
While many would view this book of Revelation as doom and dread and the horrible things to come, as believers in Christ, we are compelled by the love of God to take a look once again at this amazing book and see just how far, how deep, and how wide God's love really is for you and I. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that give us clarity on what's happening in the world. Who can dispute it? It's happening right in front of our eyes. And you've given us such clarifying perspective, but we know we're a mess. We know so easily, if left to us, sin is so powerful, we'll run into it tomorrow. But we're also thankful that you never take your blessing from your people and they're never, ever, ever removed from the Lamb's book of life. So keep us in your promises. Let us not love the world or the things in the world. Let us see that these idols and idolatry could ruin us. And let us always remember the grace of God in Christ that has pulled us out to be able to see and blessed so that we might worship today the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you praise. Thank you for instructing us today in your will and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, Revelation 17. Join us then for our Friday broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.